here on the Daily from Morning Stories, Music, and Ideas, and going to be talking now about the big rally yesterday, which was people came out in force to protest Sydney's lockout laws. Keep Sydney Open organized the event, and around 8,000 people turned up to what turned out to be a bit of a dance party despite the poor weather. Producer Nicole Ng spoke to some of the protesters and asked them why they were there.
The killing of our nightlife, the killing of the restaurant scene. It's not just for the drunkens at 3 a.m. It's for people who go out with their families as well in King's Cross and elsewhere across the city.
The foot traffic's dropped by 60 to 80%. The violence has dropped by 50%. That means there's more violence per capita, not less. There's just no people out there anymore. It's nuts. It's just, you know, not everybody starts their night at 9 o'clock, and you know, everybody should get a chance to go out and do whatever they want, whenever they want. And you know, if they were serious about it, the casino would be restricted as well.
So I'm an entertainer, I'm a musician. So I have to understand that I am in an ecosystem, of an entertainment ecosystem, where if one variable is affected, even if it's just a matter of the live scene at bars, that's going to affect so many more aspects of the industry than just, you know, myself or the bar itself. Yeah. It's a snowball effect, and it's going to affect everyone.
Yeah, like I think within the first month or 2 months of like the lockout laws, we had like a trans musician bashed in Newtown, and like just the violence rate in the areas that don't have the lockout laws are going up. So it's obviously not working in that regard. So much culture is in Newtown and in places like that, and it's just like ruining the culture that's already in those areas.
I mean, Melbourne is such a similar city to Sydney. And we've seen it. Lockout laws didn't work for them. They went and they brought back a whole bunch of different solutions, including more transport, including more police force, including actually like looking at the culture that creates this sort of thing. Lockouts aren't the way to fix it. And I think it's really just, that's the thing. It's a band-aid effect, and everybody else has just realized that. It's not an actual solution. It's just like a short-term reaction.
It's against civil liberties, and we think he's very old-fashioned and shouldn't. Yeah. Open Sydney.
We grew up in an era where pubs used to close at 6 o'clock, and then they went at 10, and then they went to 12, and then they liberated Sydney, and now they're trying to take all that away, and we don't want that to happen.
And look at all these thousands of people.
There's very passive people here. There's no aggravation here.
They
there's
just
no
want a party. They don't want to fight.
No alcohol. There's this great, good, clean living people here tonight.
Yeah, today. They just want to have fun. And he's closing down the fun.
And he's closing down the fun. Those are a few reactions from some of the members gathered yesterday at Keep Sydney Open rally, protesting Sydney's lockout laws, collected by producer Nicole Ng. But whichever side you stand on, the government's review, headed by the former High Court Justice Honorable Ian Callanan, will be released later this year in August. There's no doubt, though, that live music venues, clubs, and bars have been on the decline since the introduction of the lockout, rather. Kevin Suarez, one of 2SER's producers, got in touch with Keep Sydney Open last week and is joining me now to talk about it. Hey, Kevin.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
Pretty well. And Kevin, so New South Wales Premier Mike Baird, who's drawing a lot of the aggro for this, being the one who implemented the laws, said that they have made Sydney more safe and vibrant, and that there has been research that shows the laws have curbed violence. Is any of this justifiable, and how has this changed Sydney's nightlife?
Well, I've been wandering around King's Cross during the day because I've been doing a bit of research on these lockout laws, and it looks like a ghost town. Even during the day, there's so many places that have closed down, that have got police signs on it. There's only a couple of places left, and I don't think that it's true at all to say that Sydney has become even more vibrant, because one of the things that makes a city vibrant like Sydney is a nightlife, which Mike Baird seems to be trying to get rid of.
Well, it seems ridiculous to claim this vibrant thing when, I mean, sure, okay, what was it? I think I heard earlier it was like 40% decrease in violence, sure, but 80% decrease in foot traffic in King's Cross. It's like, Exactly. If you won't have any violence if you don't have anybody walking around. I mean, that's true, but how's that more vibrant?
Well, from what I've read of those statistics, because of the fact that the decrease in people outweighs the decrease in violence, there's still technically just as much of a percentage of violence than when most of these lockout laws were not in place.
An increase.
Well, technically, like looking at the statistics, violence has increased because with less people there, and there's more violent people apparently wandering around King's Cross still, then violence has technically increased.
And now another thing which has drawn huge amounts of fire is that there are only two venues in Sydney which are going to have 24-hour liquor laws, and they are both casinos, which has earned Mike Baird the nickname Casino Mike, which seems appropriate. This seems a little bit cynical and a little bit like he's trying to funnel traffic there, doesn't it?
It does. Like, James Packer has had a big influence on many of the locations and of features of Sydney, like with Channel 9 and so on. But I did read that James Packer does seem to be getting taxed by the government now, which he apparently wasn't very happy about. I mean, at best case...
I bet he wasn't.
Yeah, he wasn't. It was something like 500
taxes?
Million off...
Taxes? Those don't apply to me.
But, yeah... Like, at a best-case scenario, like, Mike may actually also extend the lockout laws to include the casinos as well.
Well, I mean, if he's going to apply them everywhere, you may as well apply them everywhere. Why would you exempt a casino?
Well, so far, it seems to be specifically targeting King's Cross. So, other bars and clubs outside of King's Cross are not so severely affected. They are affected by the fact that people aren't going to the city anymore for a good time because there's less clubs that are open.
Not only that, but also transport issues as well, with exactly. George Street being closed down and all that. And also, I mean, you said people going elsewhere. I mean, we've seen an increase in violence in places like Newtown and so on that have been relatively quiet and quite violence-free. So, this idea of lockout laws is another thing that's, of course, been talked about quite a lot. But, you know, what does this mean for the long run?
It does mean in the long run that there's been a theory that because people aren't going to the city anymore, they're going to be going to places like Newtown, which still has loads of pubs and clubs still open. Or they may end up going to Parramatta or to Cronulla or to Liverpool or to all of these other hub areas and going to the bars there, and that could lead to an increase in violence at those locations as well.
And I should also point out that the lockout laws don't apply just to bars but also alcoholic shops. But you did mention in Melbourne, that there's been studies done which have shown, like, the other methods have been brought out. Somebody in the Vox Pops was talking about that, saying, well, they introduced things like 24-hour transport. How can that help alleviate violence?
Well, that means that people don't have to wander around Sydney at 2 in the morning, because in Melbourne, if you can leave a club at 3 a.m. and get home safely, then people are going to do that. But one of the reasons why there's been so much violence in King's Cross is because people have nowhere to go. They leave a club at 2 a.m. and the trains don't start until about 5. So they've got nothing to do. They're drunk. Eventually, something wrong is going to happen.
Right. Well, it's certainly a complicated issue, but as we can tell, a lot of people are very angry with them. We'll have to see how this plays out. Thanks, Kevin, for joining me.
It's been a pleasure.
And it was just 2SAR producer Kevin Suarez talking about keeping Sydney open, and of course, a few Vox Pops there from producer Nicole.